And we now know that the water in Flint, Michigan, was lead poisoned long before people outside the city heard about it. But why is that? People were complaining soon after the water source was changed in 2014. It wasn't until late 2015 that state officials finally admitted that the water wasn't treated correctly and leached lead from the old pipes. And the major press began reporting a health emergency, cases of lead poisoning in children. Lead poisoning, which is irreversible. The New York Times public editor wrote this week that it's partly the paper's fault for not covering the story earlier. Could about every major outlet say the same? NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik is here. He's got some thoughts about that. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
Well, and the New York Times public editor Margaret Sullivan wrote that while she understands investigative journalism takes huge amounts of resources, she feels the Times had those resources but was allocating them, and she pointed specifically at the exhausted coverage of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and also some lighthearted features that the paper published recently. Your thoughts?
The Time has such a welter of lighthearted features in its style sections geared towards either hoping to attract the young or the wealthy to read the paper and help pay for its enterprise reporting journalism that it's easy to find examples that were, you know, simply not serious stories that could have been set aside in lieu of doing something serious on something like this growing crisis in Flint. And, you know, there is a point to what she's saying. This was not a story that went completely unnoticed locally. Right. You had locals who were bringing this to the attention of local officials, and you had local reporters doing one heck of a diligent job chronicling
right.
that.
Right, in the Flint papers. And there were also – there was an investigative journalist from the ACLU. There was the investigator from Virginia Tech, Mark Edwards, who tested the water. There were – we've reported
right.
on the doctor, the pediatrician who stood up and held up. These are great stories. And I mean, how do you feel? I mean, NPR was not early on in some of these stories.
Give NPR, you know, some marks, you know, in mm-hmm. the time in which Margaret Sullivan counted two stories in the New York Times. I counted five stories on our largest news magazines, not including additional conversations on your show here on Here and Now, not mm-hmm. including certain digital stories that appeared on air. But, you know, there could have been more. I think that it may be more tied in a bit because, of course, we have attachments to, you know, news organizations like Michigan Public Radio, which did, I think, a pretty tremendous job. And, of course, the web allows us all to see what's going on. And so there's no excuse for anyone. If you looked at a guy in Flint, Michigan, as you alluded to, a guy named Fonger, I believe his name is, he mm-hmm. wrote something like 250 stories in the last year and a half. And that's on the web for everyone to see. It's not as though that's been done silently. I do think there's something to the argument. I don't think it takes a conspiracy theorist to think that if this were in an affluent community, perhaps if this were in a wider community, but certainly if this were in a more affluent community, that this would have been taken more seriously, that parents, families wouldn't have stood for this. And they also would have known what pedals to push,
exactly.
what levers of power to exercise to get attention to their plight.
Right. Well, and we want to mention someone who was on this. And thank you for mentioning the really terrific reporting there was in pockets, including in public radio. But Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, her hair was on fire. That's where I first heard about it months ago. She was just about night after night begging Governor Snyder to respond to her, to come on the air. It was really quite some. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And here's a clip of from a report of hers from more than a month ago.
It is a story about truly, unbelievably reckless radicalism in our country. A story about which it is starting to become inconceivable that nobody has gone to jail or been impeached or been recalled from office. This is the subject of our special report tonight, and this is how it starts.
Well, and you know, David Folkenflik, there now are allegations of maybe even a cover-up. There were FOIA requests to get emails. Officials knew things. As we said, this investigative journalist has done a lot of this. But I'm wondering if the fact that Rachel Maddow was at the helm of this, that might have even have been a problem. Because is there a reaction maybe in journalism to someone like a Rachel Maddow that, oh, she's too dangerous, she's too, you know,
well,
to the left.
Opinionated, certainly.
And, yeah, opinionated. And I am a true journalist. And so when she was talking about things like cover-ups and mm-hmm. scandal, people start thinking, well, that can't be.
Well, there's certainly a some sense that people may cast aside some of the rhetoric and not pay attention to the facts that she was getting in. You know, Rachel Maddow was laying into the Republican governor of Michigan and others of his aides. She's obviously a liberal, a partisan, supporting Democrats, and people can discount what she has to say as a result. But they need to look at the facts underlying it. The interesting thing to me is she kind of backed into this. She has been very interested in the topic, as have many liberals, about the question of the exertion of executive authority over cities like Flint, like Detroit, by Republican governor like Rick Snyder, in a sense taking power to the state capital in a way from perhaps Democratic elected officials. That said, in the process of focusing on that issue, which was true in Flint and where a non-elected official really drove this policy to a significant degree, she was on to a very serious issue. And I don't think that we're in an age where we can cast aside the work of opinion journalists. Yeah. We need to assess it and look at it. I think she deserves credit for looking at this issue in the way that she did.
It's a reminder, too, with two big movies out, Spotlight and The Big Short. You know, if it's unbelievable, it may be true. NPR media correspondent David Falkenflik, thanks as always.
You bet.